chapter 19, beginning at the first verse. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mou tonu tana kupu ki a tātou. And our Holy Gospel for today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, beginning at the fourth verse. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe miti te karoria ki te atua. In the preceding verses, Mark references earlier prophecies about a messenger coming before the Lord. Verse 4. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a gospel of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Te ronga pai tēnā i ātea ka aiti. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe mititia ea te kupu mana.
Good morning. Oh, yes, I am on, definitely. I'm going to start with the children's talk, so I'll just move this out of the way for a minute. Otherwise, you won't be able to see the children. Would you kids like to come up and just have a look at what we've got on screen? And I've got some pictures here. Any kids want to come up? You're going to stay hiding down the back with your parents instead? Hi. Nice to see you, Caleb. Kalipi. Okay. I must be really scary. You're really, really brave, aren't you? Okay, so, but come and have a look on the screen over here. Come and have a look on the screen. So I wanted to talk about becoming a butterfly. Who likes butterflies? Anybody like butterflies? Yep, excellent, excellent. Anybody got butterflies in their garden at the moment? Yep, excellent, excellent. But I'll tell you what, on the screen here is a picture of a monarch butterfly, which is, we have some of those in our garden at the moment. It's not one that I took from my own garden because I'm just not quick enough. That's the truth. It didn't seem like the right thing to do. John suggested fly spray, but, you know, just a no-no. But the thing about butterflies is they don't start out life as butterflies, do they? Is that how they start life? Are they always butterflies? No. I can see that some of us know. There's a clue as to how they start life. And has anyone read this book? It's called The Very Hungry Caterpillar. by Eric Carle. Yeah? Yeah, have you got a copy of it? Have you got your own one? Some people will have a copy. Ah, oh, fantastic. It's a great little book, isn't it? And it's all about one thing, though, isn't it? It is really all about eating. It is just about eating and eating and eating and eating and eating some more. I would call it a hand-to-mouth existence, but it's actually really a leaf-to-mouth existence, so there isn't much leaf left at the end of it either. It must be pretty boring, really, don't you think? Just living your life just eating. The only thing you ever do is eat. Okay, you might seek prayer after that. But, you know, actually our lives can be like that as well, can't they? You know, where we just get focused on the same old and the same old and the same old. And that's true for the kids as well. You know, it's school and school and school, and then it's holidays and they go on and on. Yep, but you got the idea. Baptism, which we're going to learn about today, is a bit like that. It's about stopping and choosing a different way. And what happens with the caterpillars, the very hungry caterpillars, is that eventually they have to stop. You know, like just, I can't take another bite. They have to stop. And then they hang upside down from a leaf. Has anyone seen them? Yeah, there they are. And they hang there like that. They just hang out. You know, and that's kind of what we have to do in our lives as well. We've got to hang out with God. We've got to stop and we've got to hang out with God. And then gradually they get new clothes. It's this amazing thing. This chrysalis forms around them. This cocoon forms around them. And you can see there how the... But they have to wait. It takes a lot of waiting, this whole business. And that can be like our walk with God as well. You know, and the disciples had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come from on high. Jesus told them that. And then finally, after what seems like forever, it's actually only a month. Just found that out 3 weeks the other day. A big amazing thing happens, and out pops a butterfly. And then they start a next generation because they flutter around the place and they share themselves around. And we can be like that too as Christians, can't we? You know, we can go and share the love around. So that's our little story for today, and there are some pens around the place, and I did some of these, and I thought that maybe some of you kids might like to do us some drawings, and we can have a look at some of these butterflies at the end. So take some of those. Do you want to hand them out to the kids? Make sure as many people can get one as possible. Just the kids, just for the kids, and then take them back to your seats, and or you can do some coloring up here. Okay, and I'm going to talk to the adults for a bit. It's not going to be as much fun, but, you know, I'll try. Yep. Okay, now I've got to stand in the middle here, so you can stay there if you like, but it could get quite crowded. Yeah. Kalipi, do you want to take this with you? Can you take that one with you? There you go. Great. Thank you. There might be some kids down the back that might want them as well. That'd be great. Oh, oops. Just grab one more there, Evan. Grab one. Oh, we got one. It's okay. She's got one. Okay. Hi. How's it going? I'm Penny. So I wanted to start talking this morning in the readings, just talking about John the Baptist. Because he kind of gets a little bit, you know, he's one of those chaps that only gets raised twice a year, once now and then once later when he loses his head. It's a bit unfortunate, really. It's not the way I want to be remembered. but, you know, the prophets spoke of John's coming, and they also spoke about who would follow John. And I think that's kind of part of the theme of today's story. Because John came out of the desert, and he'd led a wild life, not the kind of wild life that involves, you know, nightclubs and parties. His was more the kind of wild life which involves living off the earth. And that's why I think he's described as someone who ate locusts and honey, and he wore clothes made out of camel hair, which he probably wove from what he found in the desert, and a leather belt. He's apparently a simple man. kind of think of him as a bit of a rough diamond. But John knew that he was called. And he was called for this purpose of calling, of getting everyone to repent of their wrongs, to get them to wash them clean in the River Jordan so that they were forgiven and ready for God's next big gift. He must have had a really zealous and inspiring message. Did you ever think about that? You know, I find thinking about meeting him quite scary, actually. You know, man from the desert, disheveled. Definitely challenging what he was saying, you know. Quite hard what he was asking. So just to give some perspective about the impact he had, I drew this map. Well, I didn't draw the map. I drew some lines on this map. Which I realize isn't going to be really good, but at the top, just quick directions, Sea of Galilee at the top, Dead Sea at the bottom, Nazareth is where the blue arrow comes from, Jerusalem is where the black arrow comes from, and Judea is that whole yellow area towards the Mediterranean and Samaria above. So it's a really big place, isn't it? It's huge. And that arrow from Nazareth to the Jordan River is about the same distance, just spatially, of walking, all the way from Wellington to Masterton. It's not quite as far as Palmerston North, but, you know, he probably had to make lots of little turns. And there's actually a walk that you can do now up in the area around where Jesus did most of his ministry. And they describe it as strenuous. So you can just imagine what it was like then, if it's strenuous now. It would have taken days to get there. You know, 2 to 3 days from Jerusalem, a week or more from Nazareth. So my point is that you wouldn't have been making this journey unless you were really committed to where you were going. So my question for you is, have you ever longed to be free from sin? Longed enough to walk a long way to be free from sin? If I was to ask you right now to repent, what comes to mind? Do you possibly, like me, get a warm, itchy feeling? Does it seem too hard to live with it? Too hard to give it up? Too hard to admit it, even? How far would you be willing to walk to be free? Water baptism is about that. It's about the repentance of sins. Mark tells us that the people came from everywhere, the whole of that area, the whole Judean countryside. And they did confess their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. People longed to have that weight drop from their shoulders. As someone who has carried sin around, I can tell you, it's way better to get rid of it. To be forgiven and to forgive. In the Greek New Testament, the word for repentance is metanoia, which is most, you know, it's two words, metanoia. It doesn't just mean a slight deviation. It means a complete about face. To turn around and go a different way. Just like the caterpillar, we can't just keep eating. We have to change mode. John is saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is about to be revealed. Be ready. Forgiveness is coming. We've all done things in our lives that we're not proud of, wish we'd never done, things we wish we had done, things we know are wrong. When we decide to receive the gospel, we decide to turn around and stop going our own way, to go God's way instead. That's when we're ready for water baptism. Doesn't matter that we're baptized as infants, as many people are in the Anglican Church. No, it doesn't matter at all. Not at all. But we still need to make our own decision to turn around and go God's way. Just like the rest of the crowds, Jesus also came to the Jordan to be baptized, we know. But maybe you've wondered why. Why did Jesus want to be baptized? I mean, wasn't he without sin? I mean, that's archetypal. Jesus, sinless. But I think that by being baptized in the baptism of repentance, knowing what we know about turning around, Jesus is stepping away from his life as a carpenter in a little hick town called Nazareth to present himself wholly, fully, to his call to be Messiah. We don't know how much Jesus knew about the cost involved, but we can be pretty sure that he knew that it would be an end to normal life, being a carpenter. And God just loves his wholehearted response, and he says, he tears heaven apart. Can you imagine that? Imagine heaven tearing apart. Not just a bolt of lightning. He actually tore heaven apart. And he says, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. When each one of us repents and turns to God, he likewise receives us as his reconciled children. And he is delighted. Just like I am absolutely certain that God would say the same thing to us. You are my precious child, whom I love and with whom I am well pleased. John the Baptist says of Jesus, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And at Jesus' baptism, we see the dove come down. And I love that image. It's just such a beautiful image. And that's how I know the Holy Spirit, as a gentle thing like a dove. It settles in me, settles on me and in me with that sort of calm energy. And when he saw the dove, John knew for certain that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. But Jesus also talks about the Holy Spirit and about his connection to it a number of times during his ministry. And I just want to look at three references to that. The first is in his conversation with Nicodemus, when Jesus has this kind of cryptic conversation where he says, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. And when he appeared to the disciples in the upper room, as I kind of mentioned in my story, he said, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, but stay in the city until you receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power. And finally, in the words of the Great Commission, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I commanded you. And in the equivalent passage in Mark, we see the link to baptism. So as Jesus commanded, when we draw others to him, we baptize them as his disciples. And Paul talks about the connection between Jesus and the Holy Spirit as well. He says, I'm not going to read that one. You can read that up on screen. It's too long. The point is that when we have the Holy Spirit, God operates through us. We're not just operating solo. We're operating in his power. It's key to how we live our lives as disciples. And that is why Paul, when he gets to Ephesus and finds some disciples in Acts 19, his first question for them is, did you receive the Holy Spirit? It's like, hi, how are you? Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Because, you see, Paul knew that water baptism wasn't enough. We're not only called to be redeemed, we're called to be empowered and to go God's way, to follow Jesus. Paul saw the evidence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life as a sign and a seal of the new covenant, just as circumcision had served in the Old Testament for the people of Israel. So the Ephesian disciples were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and to achieve their mission, they needed the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul laid his hands on them. And there is power in the laying on of hands. And the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. They didn't just stand there like dummies. The Holy Spirit touched them, and they changed. two gifts are mentioned, just two in this case. And that doesn't mean that they're greater than any of the other spiritual gifts, but they're good. They're good. All the spiritual gifts are good. And if anyone wants to know more about these or the other spiritual gifts, there wasn't time to cover it today. Happy to take that on the side. But if you want prayer for a spiritual gift or for more of the Holy Spirit in your life, that's another thing you can come for prayer for at the end. Those Ephesian men became part of Paul's team, sharing the word. You show that you're a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human heart. It shone forth out of them. Those men lived their faith. For at least 2 years, they taught alongside Paul. And we come, likewise, for water baptism, as Jesus did, to turn our lives to God's will. And we also need the baptism. We also, at that time, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because he's now already amongst us. And that's so that we can carry out the Great Commission. Just as Jesus was the servant king, he came to stand alongside humanity in all their brokenness and their shame. And we, as their servants, as his disciples, we're called to stand alongside them too, to help them come to reconciliation with the Father. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we tell them about how awesome he is, about his love, his way, about his saving grace. So, you might have some questions going out of today. Maybe the Lord's reminding you of someone. Maybe he's reminding you about an incident, good or bad, an opportunity. And chances are that we all need to repent in some way, to turn around, repent, and go God's way. At the beginning of a new year. And that's why in the pews you have some paper towels and you have some marker pens. And the opportunity is there for you to write a prayer, write down a name, write down something that you're sorry about, maybe, and bring that. And there are some basins up the front here. We're going to all come to communion at the front today. And you can put those pieces of paper into the water and watch those words dissolve as a prayer to God. As a symbol of being baptized, as we go down into the water and we rise again afresh in God. But before we move into that phase, I'm just going to close with a prayer. Jesus, our Redeemer, thank you for giving freely of yourself for us. Thank you for doing the Father's will. Help us, Lord, also to follow and to share God's way with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just need to add that there are a couple of buckets at the bottom once you're done with your paper, so that there's room for everybody to put their paper in. Put your paper in the bin.